Welcome to One Christian Church. We're so glad you're listening in. It's our prayer that the Word of God will both challenge and inspire you as you listen.
Today's message is Be, Do, Have. In 2015, we moved back from Perth after living in Melbourne, and I was working for BHP at the time. And we moved back so I could take a role in a newly formed company called South 32. BHP decided that there's a whole lot of operations and mines they didn't want to operate anymore. They were too small in the big scale of the operations they have. So they separated them all into a completely separate company. And we started this company. And because we were operating across the globe, but mostly around Australia and Africa, we had an office here in Australia and an office in Johannesburg in South Africa. So it was quite an interesting journey because the company, the operations individually we inherited from BHP, well, we're all, although they were part of this massive company, all had a very different culture and way of working because they were in different areas geographically and also in the divisions that BHP had. So we had to find a way to bring it all together as one organization, one purpose, one vision, one set of goals that everyone was working towards. So we started doing a lot of work with understanding this, and what we found was quite interesting. In some of our operations, more so the ones in Africa, every time we wanted to change something or do something new or went there and tried to explain we're going to go in a different direction, there was an enormous amount of resistance and negativity and blame, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. After we've done some work with the people in the operations, we had the help of some psychologists and experts in culture change and all of these things, we realized that there was a culture, what became known in our organization as the victim mentality. Now, this sounds quite offensive, I know, but I'll explain it a bit better. But they had a mindset of everything was being done to them. Everything that was wrong was someone else or some circumstance being put on them. It was a rather draining experience to work with people where you have that kind of resistance and that mindset. And we didn't quite understand the reasons why. You know, it could have been multiple reasons. The way these assets were run before, the different leaders they had over time, the circumstances specific to Africa, who knows? I'm not a culture expert, I don't know. It didn't really matter though. What did matter is how can we change this? How can we move forward this organization that needs to work as one unit to achieve the goals it has? How can we change that mindset? What's really what we focused on. So we worked for quite some time with these experts, and it did take some time, but we managed to shift the leaders in the organization and eventually everyone in the organization by making a mindset change. And I'll explain to you how we did that. I found it fascinating being part of all of the workshops we had and this journey we went on to see that a mindset change, which sounds small, can have an enormous impact on outcomes. That region, the Africa region in our organization, became one of our star performers in over the course of 3 years, a relatively short time in a corporate life. In some aspects of, in terms of culture and the way they were and the way they showed up at work, the way they made their business plans and committed to it and worked towards that, they weren't perfect. They still had faults and issues, but the attitude was significantly different. And that got them results in many different ways. So I learned certainly a lot, not about organizations, that too, but also about me and my thinking and my victim mentality that I certainly have that I didn't know before we went through this exercise. Or I always saw myself as quite a positive person, you know, and solution focused and these things. You'd be surprised how often you would catch yourself having this mentality as I explain it. So don't be offended. All of us play the victim from time to time. Some may do it more often than others. But let me tell you, you have a victim mentality at times. So let's understand what I really mean. And when Pastor Phil was talking about unity, one of the messages a few weeks ago, and unity is one of our principles that we want to live by and die by, it really was a revelation to me. I didn't have a revelation on a specific scripture, but I had a revelation that this model that I learned and what I learned in this process can be applied in to actually try and help us live this principle and change our mindsets about how we get there. So this is the model. I'm going to explain it. It's three words, have, do, be. So usually we think like this. This is the victim model, okay? If I have something, whatever that may be for you, then I will do something different, and then I will have something. Then I will be something different. Okay, so if I have something, if I have more support at work, for example, then I will work harder, I will do something different, and then I'll be a good leader. Everyone will see it. If my church has a better culture, then I will be more involved, and then I will be trusted. If I have a chance to do the music for church and lead worship, then I will commit to be faithful in everything, even the small things. And then I'll be a better Christian. This is the victim model. It puts the change onto something external first. If my workplace change, if my leader at work change, if the church change, if Pastor Phil does something different, if my kids do something different, then I will be different. It's always the others that need to change first. So this sounds silly, but we do think like this naturally. This is our natural way of thinking. Why? Because it's easier. There's so many benefits. Firstly, I don't have to change. I can blame others. Very easy. I may get some sympathy. You know, I go and tell this sad story about how I'm the victim in a situation. Everyone goes, poor you, you know. It's easier to stay in my comfort zone and not confront myself every so often with who I am really as a person. And I usually get company. Have you noticed when we have conversations and one person tells a story about what happened to them and how bad that is, and the next one comes along and the next one, and before you know it, the whole conversation's really negative, and I call it the downward spiral. It sort of goes, and everyone's like drained after that. So that's why we do it, though. There's certain benefits to having this mindset. However, it also has a cost. As with everything in life, there's a cost to this mindset. You may be seen as negative and a complaining kind of person, and sometimes people run away from having a conversation with you because you're always negative. It drains your energy. It drains not only those listening to you, it also drains your own energy. Have you noticed that when you're sort of having that conversation, all of a sudden you feel not so good? When you're having a positive conversation and looking forward and changing to a solution mode, you're much different. In the workplace, productivity goes down, and even doesn't matter what you do, whether it's at work or at home, you cannot be productive when you're in that mindset. And there's been many studies about positive thinking and all of this, and even in the secular world, there's a lot of studies that shows when you're more positive what the impact is in terms of your productivity and outcomes. This next one's very important to us today, in our conversation today, unfortunately, is one of those principles. If you do not change, you cannot grow. So if you have this mindset, probably one of the biggest costs is that there's no growth in you. And the other one, equally important to us today, is that it breaks down trust in relationships very quickly because you put the blame. The other person knows, even if you don't say it, they know it because it's external to you that your behavior changes towards that person and that relationship suffers. So this is the responsible model. So we want to move from victim to responsible. It's the same three elements, be, do, and have. However, the order changes around. It starts with who do I need to be? And then I will do something different. And then I'll have something different. For example, if I am a better leader, then I will work harder. Then I will get more support at work. So I don't start with, if I get more support, then I will be doing more and then I'll be a better leader. It's the opposite way. If I can be trusted, then I will participate more in church. And then our church will have a better culture of working together. If I am a better Christian, I will be faithful in everything, small or big. And then I'll be given a chance to do many different things. Either in church or outside church, God will give those things to me. He will trust me to do those things. So this is the responsible model. It starts with a focus on the internal, on you. What needs to change in me first? Then what will I do differently as a result of that? And then what will I have in my life? What's the reward I get? As with the other model, there's also cost and benefits. The benefits are clear. We get a reward. You will have something better in your life. It's solution focused. You come up with way different solutions to your problems and if you have this mindset. There's growth because you change. You feel energized. You're more hopeful. You're much more fun to be with. You're productive, much more productive, whether it's at work or at church or in school, doesn't matter where it is. And probably the most important thing, there's a peace and a joy that comes from that growth, even though it's hard. The costs are obvious. It's sort of the mirror of what we discussed on the other model. The cost is you can't blame others. You need to take the responsibility for the situation and you need to change. You need to take a risk and go outside your comfort zone and confront yourself. That's really hard. So that's the model. Now you understand that when I say victim, I'm not trying to be offensive. It's about the mindset we have and how we think about what needs to change for the outcome to be better. Well, it's all very interesting, you may say, but what does this have to do with God's word? Where is this in God's word? And what does God's word tell me? And my role in the kingdom? What difference does this make to me? Well, God's word gives us a true view of who we are or should be. In other words, our B statement. There's a large number. I can't even read them all to you today. It will take us the whole day. But there's a large number of B statements in God's word where it's very clear with us on what we are or should be. Okay? I'm going to read a few in my own words, and the scripture references are there on the slide. I am holy and without blame before him in love. Is your mindset that you are holy? I'm renewed in the knowledge of God and no longer want to live in my old ways or nature before I accepted Christ. I am merciful. I do not judge others. I forgive quickly. As I do this by God's grace, he blesses my life. That will be the half that you have. See, even the word even gives us the half at times. I'm chosen by God who called me out of the darkness of sin and into the light and life of Christ so I can proclaim the excellence and greatness of who he is. Is my mindset one of excellence? It's also one of our principles. Is my mindset who I be, who I are, am now, or who I want to be, one of greatness that represents his greatness, not mine? I'm God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works that he has prepared for me to do. Is my do good works? I am an ambassador for Christ. I'm part of a chosen generation, a purchased people. I can only go up and not down as I trust and obey God. I'm chosen by him, forgiven and justified through Christ. I have a compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Are we all those things? There are loads more, and you can certainly find in scriptures the ones that most speak to you, that the Holy Spirit reveals to you. But the more I read of these and look at myself, the more I realize I'm still so very far away from everything I need to be, what God says about me, what I should be. And unless I acknowledge this and actually do something with that, I cannot change, and I will not have a change, and I will not have something different in my life. Part of that process of change is repentance. And just a quick reminder on that. Repentance means to be deeply sorry and turn away from. It requires both those elements. Remorse is when we feel sorry, deeply sorry. And that's good. We can feel deeply sorry, especially if there's bad consequences for us from something we've done. But that's not enough. We then have to take also the second step to say, I'm committed to change. I'm committed to do something, be something different, do something different, and then have something different. So repentance is very much part of this process of be, do, have in our world. So I need you to really think about this victim mindset we have at times and think about how we can turn away from that mindset into taking responsibility. If we want to move forward as individuals in our faith and grow, if we want to move forward as a church, as a unit, the same thing applies. To change is not easy. To change, in spite of all the waves going around us and all these things that confront us on a day-to-day basis, isn't easy. But I want to encourage you today with this verse. Ephesians 4:17 says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord." I want you to really see this word insist. It really is no option for us here. It's an insistence that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So there's two things that stand out to me really that applies in the situation of changing our mindset to mindset to responsible. Firstly, Paul here says to the Ephesians, that church, "I insist on it." So God insists on us taking this seriously. And secondly, it's about your heart. It is about your heart and changing that. So this is what I would call for us the burning platform. You know, all the theories and studies about change management that they apply in organizations explains this process of change that is so hard. And it explains the phases people go through. You start with sort of resistance, and then you move into acceptance, and then you move up into commitment. Now, this process takes longer or shorter depending on where the person's mindset is. And to take that first step, to break down the resistance into acceptance and commitment, they use something called the burning platform. It's something like you're a penguin and you're living on an island that's melting. You need to find a new home or you're going to melt into the ocean. It's the same thing for us. So this verse here for me is our burning platform. He insists on it to change your heart. We on a melting island. Unless you change, you're never going to be that person that God has made you to be. So what do I need to be? God started this process in us through Christ. So he's given us everything. If we just accept that, we can get eternal life. However, there's a process we go through to change post that. He started that work in us. He will complete it as long as we are willing to work with the Holy Spirit on that and willing to change our mindsets and our lives. So we can apply this to any aspect in our life, this model. You can apply it in how you want to be at work. You can apply it to how you want to be at home or in church. It doesn't matter. However, for today's purpose, just to make sure we can work together, I want to focus specifically on unity amongst all of us. If we want to become more of a unit and work more together, similar to what we did with this organization I work for, what is it that needs to change in each of us? And again, our burning platform in that is this verse, Philippians 1:27. "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." Conduct, it's about doing. "So that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel." So that's our being. Our be statements given to us, our burning platform is, this is God's expectation in unity as a body of Christ. Our conduct, whatever it is we do, needs to be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's our do. Our be is one spirit, one mind striving together. And what we'll have is an amazing family working together in Christ. So achieve unity. Our focus should be on this today. So I'm going to challenge you. Have a real heart think. Who do I need to be? What needs to change in me? Then what am I going to do differently to have that outcome of unity in our church? But as with everything else, it comes at a cost. While we think through this, I also want you to think about the cost. What do you have to give up? What's going to be hard for you? Because that's really important as you make this commitment. And to change takes a real commitment. It's about your heart. It's not a fleeting thought. It's not the aspiration to be better. We all have the best aspirations and intentions. It only really changes when you have a deep commitment in your heart towards that change. I dare you to
For more messages or information, you can contact us through our website at www.onechristianchurch.com.au. We would love to hear from you. Hope to see you this Sunday at One Christian Church.